Gamar Joba Taksim. This is Spielpod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from Istanbul, which was Constantinople. Today is Thursday, the 2nd of July, 2015. On this date in 1776, the Continental Congress votes for independence. 2 days later, the Declaration of Independence is adopted. So that ended up being the one that was celebrated, although the one today was actually more important. 1777, Vermont becomes the first American territory to abolish slavery. 1809, Shawnee Chief Tecumseh urges Indians to unite against whites. 1839, mutiny on the Amistad slave ship near Cuba. 1853, the Russian army crossed the Pruth River into the Danubian principalities, Moldavia and Wallachia, providing the spark, one of several really, that sets off the Crimean War. 1881, U.S. President Garfield is shot. 1890, the U.S. Congress passes the Sherman Antitrust Act. 1897, Marconi obtains a patent for radio in London. 1937, Amelia Earhart disappears over the Pacific. 1947, the Soviet Union rejects Marshall Plan assistance. 1962, the first Walmart store opens for business in Rogers, Arkansas. 1964, Lyndon Johnson, inaccurately and unfairly portrayed in the movie, signs the Civil Rights Act. 2002, Steve Fawcett becomes the first person to fly solo around the world nonstop in a balloon. Birthdays today are Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall, brilliant administrator and martyr Patrice Lumumba, fashion guy Pierre Cardin, civil rights leader Medgar Evers, and soccer player Alex Morgan. Today is Police Day in Azerbaijan and World UFO Day. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. As ever, the podcast is written by Ari Swieka. My Georgian journal and Kvitis Palitra column this week is about how administrative acts have slowed down in Georgia, and that's a bummer. Thanks again for those posting on our forum, especially a guy named Steve who said he'd buy us all a beer. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tapealpod.com or send us an email at tapealpod@gmail.com. Following up on the 13th of June flood, the search is still continuing for the bodies of three people who went missing after the flood. According to the Emergency Situations Management Agency, more than 1,000 rescuers are examining the riverbed of the Tukwari, and the river levels have been purposely lowered around Tbilisi to assist the rescue workers in the search. The river is being monitored from Tbilisi to the Red Bridge at the Georgia-Azerbaijan border. We've also found a number of dead animals, including 18 dogs and a bear that were from an animal shelter and a pony from the zoo. By lowering the water levels in Tukwari River and Tbilisi, the river level has increased by 20 centimeters in the Kvamokartli region. And following up on donations for the flood relief, this week Kartu Bank donated 2.5 million lari. A representative of Kartu Bank said this money was not connected to an earlier statement by BI that he would cover shortfall if not enough funds were raised to cover the cost of the damage. The Georgian Co-Investment Fund donated 500,000 lari. The money was transferred to an account established by Tbilisi City Hall to help victims of the flood. Finance Minister Nodar Khaduri is on an official visit to China this week. On the 29th of June, he met with his Chinese counterpart and talked about the prospects of increasing Chinese investments in Georgia. They also discussed improving awareness of Georgian products in the Chinese market. Furthermore, the Chinese side expressed an idea to simplify customs procedures. Georgia is preparing to hold the Tbilisi Silk Road Forum on the 15th and 16th of October. Georgia is also joining the China-led Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank, or AIIB, as a founding country. Finance Minister Khaduri signed the document during the visit. There are 57 founding countries, and a partnership is governed by an AIIB founders agreement. The AIIB is meant to support economic development and improve infrastructure in Asia. Further, seven countries have the chance to sign the bank's foundation agreement before the end of 2015. The next round of negotiations will be held in Tbilisi on the 24th and 25th of August. This ministerial will see parties discuss the amount of the bank's initial capital. At the same time, countries will introduce candidates they want to present for the AIIB presidential role. Meanwhile, in Tbilisi, Prime Minister Garabashvili hosted high-ranking Chinese official Huang Wei, the vice chairman of China's Xinjiang Autonomous Region, which was the largest investor in Georgia of all of the Chinese regions. 23-year-old Turpal Borchashvili from the village Zibachevi in Pankizi was killed fighting for Islamists in Syria, as reported by locals from his hometown on the 28th of June. He died during fighting in Kobani. The information center of Kakheti quotes family members who said that after Borchashvili left for Turkey 6 months ago to look for work, as a reminder, in June, four people were detained in Georgia for having links to ISIS. Georgian volunteer fighter Konstantin Lashkia was killed in Ukraine. According to Rustavioti, his body was found in the Azov Sea in the anti-terrorist operation ATO Zone. Circumstances of his death are unknown for now. Lashkia left for Ukraine 8 months ago. He is originally from Suchumi and has a wife and two children. On his Sunday sermon on the 28th of June, Ilya II said that the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling legalizing same-sex marriage in the U.S. was a big mistake. He was talking about freedom, saying that, quote, often freedom is misused by people and it is disastrous for the soul. Neither the Ten Commandments nor laws and customs would be needed if people were given complete freedom, end quote. And about the U.S. Supreme Court ruling, he said that, quote, there are cases when people in countries legalize illegally, whereas a Georgian should distinguish between good and evil, between acceptable and unacceptable. We ask God for opening our minds and hearts to let them see good and evil, end quote. Prime Minister Garabashvili reiterated that he would always be in favor of introducing a constitutional clause that would redefine marriage as a union of a man and a woman. He first voiced this proposal last year when the government tabled the anti-discrimination bill, which was approved by Parliament in May 2014. Article 36 of the Constitution reads, quote, a marriage shall be based upon the equality of rights and free will of the spouses, end quote. But same-sex marriage is already banned by the Civil Code, which defines marriage as, quote, the voluntary union of a man and a woman, end quote. Asked this week in an interview with the Georgian newspaper Asavala Savaldi if he still supports a constitutional ban on same-sex marriage, the prime minister responded, I still maintain the same opinion and always will. What is our state based on? On our religious belief. Interesting. And the institution of the family, which a modern, strong Georgia should be based on. As prime minister and as a citizen of Georgia, I will do everything in order to make a clause in the Constitution that will define marriage as a union of a man and a woman. Today, every country in the world decides this issue on their own. We think that's how the issue should be addressed in Georgia. End quote. According to some reporting in Ukrainian media, on the 2nd of July, Health Minister Sandro Kvitashvili submitted a letter of resignation. The information was shared by Ukrainian Member of Parliament Igor Kononenko, who said that the Parliament discussed the case, but nothing is final yet, and the Cabinet of Ministers has not reviewed the case yet. Kvitashvili had previously said that if he leaves office, he does not plan to stay in Ukraine. Misha wrote on his Facebook that it's time for Kvitashvili to leave his post, saying that in Odessa, people are not satisfied with the healthcare system. You still have to give bribes, and nothing has improved. Ukraine's healthcare ministry has not confirmed the information about Kvitashvili's resignation. Following up on last week's story on the Biletevi.ge sales mess, to recap, UEFA Super Cup match between FC Barcelona and FC Sevilla will take place in Tbilisi on the 11th of August. Online ticketing provider Biletevi.ge had the exclusive rights to sell the tickets, but the site crashed when it launched ticket sales on the 22nd of June because there was too much site traffic and because it was not designed properly. People trying to buy tickets were very angry, as was the Georgian Football Federation, which said that they would find alternative sales options for Biletevi.ge if it didn't get back running. So this week, on the 29th of June, the Georgian Football Federation announced that Biletevi.ge fixed its problems and that the sale of 24,000 tickets locally in Georgia for the will start the next morning on the 30th of June. While international sales of the remaining tickets will start from 9 a.m. Central European time on the 1st of July. But then, on Tuesday the 30th of June, fans in Georgia trying to buy tickets had to wait the whole day in an online queuing system that Biletevi.ge on the Biletevi.ge site. Problems were reported shortly after the launch of ticket sales. Users couldn't place an order even after completing the queuing phase. Biletevi.ge acknowledged the problem in the evening and announced that it was terminating the sale of tickets. Georgian Football Federation said that only about 2,000 of the local tickets were sold before the process was terminated. According to Zviad Sichinava, the president of the Georgian Football Federation, they are in touch with UEFA throughout the day, asking them for permission to terminate the deal with Biletevi.ge, and by the end of the day got a verbal response from UEFA that Biletevi would be sidelined from the ticket sales process. So now tickets will be sold at box office Michal Meschi Stadium, since there is construction works at Dinamo Stadium, but they'll only be available next week because the tickets need to be printed. As of the 1st of July, people outside of Georgia were able to purchase the tickets to the UEFA Super Cup match online via Biletevi.ge. Georgian Football Federation Secretary General Revaz Arveladze called on law enforcement agencies to investigate whether there was any outside sabotaging of the ticket sales. Yeah, right. Foreign Minister Tymko Berezashvili met her Belarusian counterpart Vladimir Makai in Minsk on the 29th of June. They met on the sidelines of an informal meeting of foreign ministers of the EU's Eastern Partnership countries. Minsk also hosted the first meeting of environment ministers of the six Eastern Partnership countries. President of Turkmenistan, with a very long name, is paying an official visit to Georgia on the 2nd and 3rd of July. President Mark Velashvili earlier visited Turkmenistan in December 2014. Let's hope he does a song. On the 29th of June, Swedish gambling company Betsson announced that it will be purchasing Georgian betting and online gaming operator EuropeBet for $50 million. According to the deal, an additional $35 million will be paid after a year, provided the gambling regulations in Georgia remains unchanged. The deal is expected to close in July. Betsson said that the acquisition will make it the second largest online gaming operator in Georgia with up to 30% market share. EuropeBet currently has 10 Georgian shareholders. In 2014, its revenue was $52 million, with online operations accounting for $41 million. Its online business is mainly driven by Sportsbook, which accounted for 44% of its total revenue in 2014. On the 1st of July, the National Bank increased its key policy rate by 50 basis points to 5.5% and predicted further gradual tightening of the monetary policy in the course of the year to 6.5%. The Central Bank's Monetary Policy Committee said that its decision is based on the macroeconomic forecast, which shows an increase in inflation expectations. After its previous meeting on the 6th of May, the key rate was increased from 4.5 to 5%. The central bank explained that domestic demand remains weak. The Monetary Policy Committee will hold its next meeting on the 12th of August. Again, following up on previous week's stories, the building in Tbilisi housing the economy ministry was sold for $9.5 million in an online auction. It was bought by the Haoling Group, one of China's largest investors in Georgia. The auction was launched more than a month ago with a starting price of $6 million. According to the terms set by the government, the buyer will have to turn the building into a hotel with at least 100 rooms by the end of 2018. The building will continue to house the economy ministry until the end of the year. As a reminder, the government first announced its intention to sell the economy ministry building in February, because the depreciation of the lari planned to intensify the privatization of state-owned assets. As of the 1st of July, Georgian Railways is slashing its domestic and export transit tariffs, as well as for container shipping, by 20%. The idea is to increase the competitiveness of Georgian products. Last week, the Austrian foreign minister announced that Austria will open an embassy in Georgia by 2018. Austria will also open diplomatic representation in Moldova and Belarus. At the same time, they will close their embassies in all three Baltic countries. Foreign minister said that the move is in response to the tense relations between the EU and Russia, that the Baltics are members of the EU and NATO, so they already have protection, but that in Georgia, the Russian threat is significantly more present. The 32nd round of the Geneva talks between Russia and Georgia launched on the 30th of June. Russia again raised Georgia's NATO's integration, saying that it poses, quote, a security threat to the South Caucasus, end quote, and therefore is in conflict with the provisions of the August 2008 ceasefire agreement, which is, of course, complete BS. The Russian Foreign Ministry said in a statement on the 2nd of July that NATO's intention to establish field infrastructure in Georgia is of particular concern, in reference to NATO-Georgia's Joint Training and Evaluation Center, which is planned to be opened this year. As reported last week, there was an IPRM meeting in Ergneti between Georgia and South Ossetia, mediated by the EUMM. The two sides discussed Tiri Pony Irrigation Canal, which needs cleaning and restoration work and provides water for locals on both sides. The South Ossetian authorities promised to renew the canal. The next IPRM meeting will be on the 30th of July. The Russian government adopted a resolution suspending its nearly 20-year-old agreement with Georgia on the transfer of inmates who have been tried and convicted and are serving their sentences, Interfax reports. Cancellation of the agreement was initiated by Russia's Justice Ministry, and a corresponding draft bill was uploaded on an official portal where authorities disclose legal information. The initial inmates handover agreement was signed in March 1996. Following up on previous week's stories, on the 24th of June, the U.S. Senate confirmed career diplomat Ian C. Kelly as the new U.S. ambassador to Georgia, replacing Richard Norland, who has served in Tbilisi since September 2012. Tbilisi International Airport will be named after Shota Rustavelli, as previously reported, according to a decision by Tbilisi City Council on the 30th of June. 30 members voted in favor. The UNM faction in Tbilisi City Council wanted to name it after Zviad Gamzahurdia instead. World Bank is giving $60 million development loan from Skhetem Tianeti and Samska Chavakheti regions through the third regional development project. The main components of the project are urban regeneration, tourism circuit development, and provision of public infrastructure to attract private investment and institutional development. As a reminder, Georgia switched from an analog to digital broadcasting on the 1st of July in Tbilisi's broadcasting zone, which includes Tbilisi, Sagarejo, Kodjori, Rustavi, and Marneuli. The same will take place in the regions in 8 to 9 weeks. That means that the analog signals are cut off and television will be operated by digital signals. To watch TV, you need a special set-top box to receive a digital signal, which costs about 50 to 100 lari. As a member of the International Telecommunications Union, Georgia is obliged to switch to digital broadcasting according to the 2006 Geneva Agreement. Podcasts are a lot easier. Smelter plant Rustavi Poladi fired hundreds of employees. The director said it's because an unfair lawsuit, because of the depreciation of the lari, because of a drop in the price of metal in the international market, and because of a recent restrictions imposed by a court that they are not allowed to use slag supplies. He explained that someone filed a complaint demanding 4,500 lari in compensation. So the court restricted the company from using tens of millions in property, and that these restrictions significantly increased the expenses for raw material, and the company is in a deadlock. They used to have 2,500 employees. In February, they dismissed 360 employees, and they plan to fire 300 to 500 more, but it depends on the court's decision, since there are some ongoing cases. The dismissed employees will get 1 month compensation. On the 30th of June, Interpol officers in Georgia and Adjada police detained a Turkish citizen wanted by Interpol at Batumi International Airport. He's wanted by Ankara police since February 2014 for lewd acts with a minor. They're working on the extradition measures. Earlier last month, on the 13th of June, Georgia extradited a man holding dual Iranian-U.S. citizenship back to the U.S. The man was subject to an Interpol red alert notice since 2011. He's accused of domestic violence, kidnapping, criminal threats, aggravated assault, false imprisonment, and dissuading a witness from reporting a crime. There's an arrest warrant for him from the Supreme Court of Orange County, California. The man was arrested in Georgia in January 2015. The Hungarian embassy in Russia refused to grant a Schengen visa to the Abkhaz national football team to participate in the European Football Championship at the Confederation of Independent Football Associations in Hungary. An official statement from the Abkhaz Foreign Ministry claims that it was shameful, politically motivated, discriminatory, and counters European values. That it, quote, falls in the line with the efforts undertaken by Georgia and its Western allies to isolate Abkhazian society and distort information about the situation in Abkhazia, end quote. That it's yet another link in the chain of anti-Abkhaz humanitarian crusades undertaken by various Georgian sympathizers in recent years. Again, end quote. They cite an example where an Abkhaz children's dance troupe was denied participation in a festival in Turkey at Georgia's request. They then say that the best answer to Georgia's hypocritical rhetoric, since they claim to care for their Abkhaz brothers and sisters, is to deepen Russian-Abkhaz cooperation. Georgia's calling for international investors to develop a 315 hectare former military range in Gonio, south of Batumi, and also on the Black Sea. The National Investment Agency will soon present the Gonio development project to the government for approval and is searching for investors. The agency commissioned commercial real estate advisory company Colliers International to conduct a study about Gonio's investment potential. A four-star hotel, Mercure Tbilisi Old Town, opened this week in Old Tbilisi, just a short walk from Metechi Cathedral. French hotel group Accor Group, which operates the Mercure hotel chain worldwide, invested $16 million to build it. The hotel was built by Macro Construction Firm and has a restaurant, several bars, and a rooftop terrace. The hotel opened its doors to shelter about 40 victims of the Tbilisi flood before the hotel officially opened. The U.S. guided missile destroyer Laboon DDG-58 from the 6th Fleet visited Batumi on the 27th to the 29th of June. It conducted routine combined training with the Georgian Coast Guard and also provided ship and press tours, according to the U.S. Embassy in Tbilisi. Defense Minister Tiniko Khidashely visited the USS Laboon. 18 officers from Georgia's Migration Department got training last week in the Netherlands from the Dutch Migration Department on efficient management of migration accommodation centers. The training was conducted after the EU-funded project Capacity Building of the State in Border and Migration Management and implemented by the International Organization for Migration. Ivana Djavakashvili, Tbilisi State University, signed a memorandum of understanding with University College Dublin in Ireland, introducing exchange programs for students, researchers, and academic staff. No more information now on when the exchange will begin or how many students will be able to participate. A new $2.3 million lari facility called Kvevri House is being built in Kakheti. It will include a cultural tourist center, workshop, museum where visitors can learn about the Kvevri wine making method. Construction started this week in the village Ikalto over 5,407 square meters of land. The project was, what does that mean? Over 5,407 square meters of land. 5,407 and a half square meters of land. The project was initiated by the Municipal Development Fund of the Regional Development Ministry and is being financed by the World Bank. Construction is expected to be completed by September 2016. Georgian director Zaza Urushadze, who directed the Oscar-nominated film Tangerines or Mandarinebi, was invited to be an official member of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. He was invited along with 322 people, including actors Emma Stone and Benedict Cumberbatch. Each year, the Academy adds more than 100 new voting members to its ranks. Membership is by invitation only. Oscar nominees are automatically considered. Others must be sponsored by two members of their branch of filmmaking. Georgian tennis player Nicolas Basilashvili will compete in the main draw of Wimbledon after achieving three victories in the qualifying round on the 28th of June. He defeated Hungary's Martin Fucsovics. Basilashvili is currently ranked 153 in the world. Now he is among 128 males who will compete in the first round of Wimbledon. The Bakudiani Ski Resort opened on the 1st of July for the summer season. There's mountain biking paths of various difficulty on Deed Valley Mountain. Chairlifts are in operation. There are hiking trails, and hotels will offer 50% discount vouchers to summer visitors. In parliamentary news, on the 27th of June, Parliament approved a bill removing responsibility from the National Bank for supervising private banks, transferring the authority to a new agency, the Financial Supervisory Agency. The bill was endorsed with 78 votes to 1, meaning many parliamentarians didn't vote. It's a preliminary vote on the first reading. Bill must go through second and third reading before final approval. If the parliament passes the bill at the first hearing, it's most likely that it will be finally approved. The financial supervisory agency that will be created will be controlled by the prime minister. Before parliament voted, the World Bank, the IMF, the Asian Development Bank, and the EBRD wrote a lengthy letter to the Prime Minister and Speaker of Parliament outlining why they are against splitting the bank supervisory function from the National Bank. They warned that it would weaken the independence and quality of banking supervision in Georgia, threaten banking sector stability, and undermine prospects for sustained growth. Also, as a reminder, President Mark Velashvili has said in the past month that he would veto the bill if it's passed. The president's office has criticized the bill for lacking any reasonable professional argument and also argues that the way the bill was developed violates Georgia's commitments under the association agenda with the EU, since the legislation related to the central bank is being amended without prior consultation with experts from the EU and the European Central Bank. As a note, the Georgian Dream Coalition is well placed to override a presidential veto, since it holds 86 seats in parliament, and at least 76 votes are needed to overturn a presidential veto. Before the bill was put to vote, the Judiciary Committee in parliament joined the president to say that it is also against the draft bill, that it violates the Constitution, which says that the supervisory function should be the responsibility of the National Bank. Commenting on the president's criticism of the bill, Prime Minister Khadabashvili said that it is incomprehensible to him why the president and his economic advisor have such a categorical stance against removing the supervision of commercial banks from the National Bank, and that their position triggers many question marks. He continues that if the president vetoes the bill, the parliament will mobilize itself to override the veto. What are those question marks if the president agrees with the IMF, World Bank, EBRD, and Asian Development Bank? I don't know, but, you know. Following up on previous week's stories, on the 27th of June, Parliament passed with its first reading a package of legislative amendments decoupling the security intelligence agencies from the Interior Ministry. A separate agency, the State Security Service, should be set up from the 1st of August. The head of the agency is selected by the Prime Minister, then must be confirmed by the government and Parliament. The bill has been proposed by the government. It's debated in Parliament on the 12th of June. It has yet to be endorsed with its second or third reading. On the 30th of June, Parliament Committee for Human Rights dismissed the bill decriminalizing the possession and personal use of small amounts of marijuana. The bill was sponsored by independent lawmaker Goga Khachidze, formerly of the UNM, of Misha Magaria fame, in June. While the bill decriminalizes the personal use of small amounts of marijuana, it still leaves it as an administrative offense punishable with up to 100 lari fine. Although the proposed bill was voted down, the committee chairperson, Georgian Dream lawmaker Eka Beselia, offered as an alternative in the committee conclusion, which is not binding, to maintain the personal use of marijuana as a criminal offense, but to repeal prison as a penalty for it. The meme this week is a new website created on the 30th of June mocking the Biletevi.ge mess selling UEFA tickets at Ocheredi.ge. It says something along the lines of, "You're now the Georgian Ocheredi or queuing system, which is why you are not given a number. Instead, everything depends on your know-how and acquaintances." Things to read: Tedo Japaridze's eulogy for the godfather of Georgian international relations, Alex Rondelli. Tablet magazine uncovers some of the Iranian businessmen trying to evade Western sanctions by doing business through front companies in Georgia and in Poti. Vice reports from the oil fields of Azerbaijan. Euronews goes on summer holiday to Batumi. Another travel piece for Georgia, wine and food, this time in Mashable. UNHCR, the UN Refugee Agency, surveys IDPs in Georgia and looks at the obstacles and then deciding whether to return. This week, CRC blog by one of their junior fellows looks at who trusts the police in Georgia. Paul Rimple for Eurasianet explores some of the political bickering following the 13th of June flood. All these things to read will be posted in our forum. This week's geocapital number is 200,000. That is, according to unofficial estimates, the number of Georgians living and working in Greece and who usually send remittances home. Greece is the second largest source of remittances to Georgia, behind only Russia. But because of the debt crisis, money transfers out of the country are currently halted. Remittances from Greece to Georgia were down by 23.2% in the first 5 months of 2015 compared to the same period during the previous year. And to clarify about last week's geocapital number, we mentioned that Misha had talked about his $200,000 salary from the Institute of International Leadership in D.C. The full name of the institution is the McCain Institute for International Leadership, named after Senator John McCain. It's based in D.C., but it's also a part of Arizona State University. The center describes itself as nonpartisan do tank, dedicated to advancing character-driven global leadership based on security, economic opportunity, freedom, and human dignity in the United States and around the world. Thank you, Matthias Hooter, for that. Announcements. The Simon Janashian Museum has an exhibition showing the role of Georgia in the Second World War. It has some of Stalin's private belongings and letters, medals of honor, and uniforms of Georgian soldiers. The exposition is open till the end of October 2015. The Shevardnadze National Gallery at 11 Rustaveli has an exhibition, The Caucasus Front, through Nino Georgiadze's camera lens about the First World War. There will also be a presentation of the book World War Through the Eyes of a Georgian Woman, and money raised from this book sold will go to families affected by the floods. Nino Georgiadze was a female Georgian photographer working with the Red Cross. The exhibition will have photos, letters, diaries, documents, and personal items from the Caucasus Front from 1914 to 1918. It's on until 17th of July. As a reminder, Anaclia will be hosting the Electronic Music Festival GEM Fest, short for Georgia's Electronic Music Festival, instead of Kazantip. It will be from the 30th of July to the 7th of August. GEM Fest will feature Dutch DJ and trance guru Armin van Buuren, Iranian-American house techno DJ Dubfire, Danish experimental dance punk band Who Made Who, and others. Tickets or multi-passes available online at Eventer, Eventer.ge. The annual Art Gene Festival showing Georgian folk culture is kicking off. It will go through the regions and will then come to Tbilisi in the Open Air Ethnographic Museum from the 19th to the 26th of July. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That is Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email is tabilpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tabilpod.com. We'll finish with, from 2015, this is Leon Bridges with Smooth Sailing. By the way, this guy is from Fort Worth, Texas, and a year ago was a full-time dishwasher.
Over the horizon, smooth sailing, it's kindly seas. Now she headed east down the boulevard, Duval. Sure, said I like the way, said I like the way. Sail your ship now, let me be your cargo. I won't wear you down, no honey, I won't wear you down. A destination, but I got a feeling I need to be your passenger. Sugar, let me be your passenger. Sugar, said I like the way, said I like the way. Sail your ship now, let me be your cargo. I won't wear you down, no honey, I won't wear you down. Smooth sailing, yeah. Smooth, darling. Sweet, pretty baby, won't you be my lady? Sweet, honey, darling, you know I'm calling. I want you. For sure. Said I like the way. Said I like the way. Sail your ship now. Let me be your cargo. I won't weigh you down. No, honey, I won't weigh you down. So smooth. Smooth sailing. Darling. Sweet, pretty baby, won't you be my lady? Sweet, honey, darling, you know I'm calling. I want you. Sure, said I like the way. Said I like the way. Sail your ship now. Let me be your cargo. I won't weigh you down. No, honey, I won't
break you down.